Go talk to a man with a lot of power when it comes to opinions on his Twitter feed, because he's the only guy who can hit send. Graham Couch, Couch on the Roof podcast. Also Lansing State Journal opinion maker. I did call it Couch on Sports when I looked at my list of guests that Superfly gave me coming up this hour, and I said, does he idolize Tim Stout that much now his podcast is called Couch on Sports?
To your tennis point, I was once the number one singles player at Lansing Sexton High School as a senior. So,
Tennis segue. Only you, Graham, can pull my speech about the World Tennis Association, my huge opinion, and bring in that you were the number one singles player for Lansing Sexton. I love it. Now, that's why you're the king.
Absolutely. Got knocked unconscious by a tennis net once in 1994, so only I've done that probably as well.
So you went to jump over it to celebrate a win and end up doing the cartwheel?
It was worse yet. It was like a dive for a drop shot, and the courts weren't very good. It was a really tightly, done net, and I just went head first into the net, and it clotheslined me out of the cement. So, ended practice early, though.
I thought I saw that scene in Step Brothers.
You probably did.
You want to play tennis? On a serious note, speaking of tennis, for the WTA to be first to stand up to China in that sports connection, obviously the game of tennis, man, that took a lot of tennis balls. It really did.
Yeah, you don't see anybody else doing that because, you don't see the NBA doing it. You don't see, because there's a lot of money to be made in China, and there's a lot of money for tennis in China, a lot of tournaments. So, you got to applaud them for taking a stand, because that's really right. That's when it gets hard, when it hits your wallet and you're making a decision based on principle or based on what matters to you, and it's going to affect your wallet. You absolutely have to applaud that.
Amen. Let's move on. Let's talk about Michigan State football. Mel Tucker, Big Ten Coach of the Year. They're 11 in the playoff rankings. They're pretty safe for a New Year's Six Bowl. It just depends on who wins and who loses this weekend.
Yeah, it's moving to 11 was a big deal in terms of getting into the New Year's Six, because jumping Oklahoma means, because obviously the ACC champion might not be in that top 12, and they've got to take one of those spots. So now, if everything plays out with the favorites winning, with Michigan winning, with Cincinnati winning, Michigan State is going to be a New Year's Six, or should be a New Year's Six Bowl team. Now, we have seen the committee flip things at the end without any new data. Like, if you go back to the very first playoff, Michigan State and Mississippi State flipped without either team playing from 1 week to the next, and that's why Michigan State went to the Cotton Bowl and Mississippi State to the Orange Bowl. But most likely that doesn't happen, and so you're looking at the Fiesta Bowl or Peach Bowl. What's sort of interesting, though, and this is my read from the majority of MSU fans that I interact with, is they would much rather go to the Red Box Bowl or any other bowl than see Michigan win the Big Ten title and go to the playoff and therefore help Michigan State in a New Year's Six game. And I think there is a that is first and foremost a priority. And I do think from one standpoint, I think the Fiesta Bowl is something that has some cachet, right? We've known the Fiesta Bowl in big games for a long time. It's been around. It has history. It's been the national championship. It's been a lot of things. And that would be a big deal. I think the difference between the Fiesta and Peach, though, is sizable in terms of just how you think of them. The Peach Bowl, they sort of forced in as this New Year's Six game. But the Peach versus the Citrus, I don't know that we think of those. Playing the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day against a good SEC team, is that worse than the Peach Bowl on December 30th against Pitt? I don't know that it is in people's eyes. And I think most Michigan State fans would rather, if that were to be the option, would rather Michigan fall and Iowa screw things up and Michigan State wind up in the Citrus Bowl.
I think State's a lock for a New Year's Six Bowl, because if you look at the numbers, like Ohio State, Michigan had massive numbers. Michigan State, massive TV numbers. End of the day, that's what those bowls are looking for in the committee. I know they're looking for their top four, but when they start the other New Year's Six Bowl matchups, it's all about what could bring the biggest TV ratings and what fans will travel.
Well, and the other thing that Michigan State has going for them is they want to play in this game. They're going to have the energy. You get a lot of teams, even at the New Year's Six level. We've seen Michigan rest a lot of guys when they were in the Peach Bowl. We've seen other teams, not a lot of guys sit out because they're either going to the NFL or the game just doesn't matter as much. And you know, this isn't a disappointing 10-2 to MSU. So, you know, I don't know 100% whether Kenneth Walker will play right now. He intends to. I think those are conversations that they need to have that are pretty frank with him. But you listen to a guy like Jaden Reed, who's never played on that stage, and how excited he is about it. And these are guys who, you know, this is a team that kind of out of nowhere went 10-2. And they're excited to try to be healthy again and play a game on a pretty big stage and remind people, you know, the last time they played on a pretty big stage, it did not go well with the Ohio State game. So I think this is a chance to sort of change the narrative about who they were this season and who they are. And so that's another advantage. I mean, there are a lot of these teams that they played their biggest game. And in Michigan State, I think this will be an enormous game, and they'll view it that way.
Beyond what bowl game they end up in, and Mel Tucker now with the well-noted 10-year, $95 million deal, does he have the foundation to be 10-2 next year or even better, or step back?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to – I mean, he's obviously going to have to – they're going to lose some pieces, and we'll see how much they lose. I would guess that Jaden Reed and Kenneth Walker are certainly gone. You know, we'll see on Jalen Naylor. And, you know, they're going to lose some – they lose some veterans on the offensive line. And that's really the question, right? Because you have to get to a point where it's not about a team and a season, where it's a program that's just the guy – the level to which you're recruiting and the depth. It's just year after year you're in contention, and that's what you're getting paid a lot of money to recruit. And in that sense, you know, this still is a pretty early stages of Mel Tucker and his recruiting and what it's fair to have expectations be. I would not expect them to be 10-2 next year. The real question will become, you know, is Peyton Thorne, if you've got him for two more years as your quarterback, as he keeps developing, does he become a guy who at the college level is a star who can carry you a little bit? I think they'll be fine at the running back position. Will they continue to be, you know, the upgrades of the offensive line? Where will that be? Can they get a guy who can rush the passer, maybe through the transfer portal? Those guys are hard to find, those edge rushers. And, you know, guys like Malik Carr, though, young receivers and tight ends that they have, are, I think they'll be fine at that position. But it's just hard to know at the line of scrimmage, will they be, think about it, this year they maximized everything they could mostly out of this season. They won every close game that they could. And that doesn't happen every season. And so it's hard to imagine them being 10-2 next year, or thinking them of, you know, of being that. But, you know, certainly I wouldn't underestimate Mel Tucker in the transfer portal this offseason.
Graham Couch from Couch in the Rube podcast from the Lansing State Journal. His Twitter feed is awesome. He's joining us on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Your thoughts on Iowa, Michigan Saturday night in the Big Ten title game?
Yeah, it's talk about something that's hard to imagine. It is hard to imagine Iowa beating Michigan. Now, that said, I've seen title game even last year. We all thought Ohio State was just going to roll Northwestern. That wound up being pretty competitive for a while. And so, you know, weird things happen, and Michigan hasn't blown everybody out. Iowa on the offensive line, though, you know, the tackle position is young. That's a bad, you know, just a matchup. That's not great against Michigan. I just don't think their offense has the juice to put pressure on Michigan and keep pace. I just don't think this is one of the better Iowa teams even that they've had in recent years. And so, I mean, we always think of Iowa as kind of the same, but Iowa's had more talent than this. I think Michigan wins and probably wins pretty comfortably.
Let's move on to college basketball. Louisville, Michigan State tonight. Spartans are improving. They're into the top 25 at 22 for the first time. I think Izzo seems pretty comfortable with the way this team is coming together. You saw something over the weekend in the Bahamas that Aikens has some of that freaky athleticism that you don't see a lot on the floor with Michigan State right now. I think he'll get more minutes. They have enough depth. I think they have enough shooters. I liked how Hauser was taking it to the bucket against Baylor. I'm like, where's that been? So Izzo's working through it. Your thoughts on the matchup with Louisville?
Yeah, I mean, Louisville makes you look ugly defensively, or with their defense and your offense sometimes. They're a team that you know, shoots a lot of threes but hasn't shot it great to this point this year. You know, the game that could be in the 60s, although I've seen games at Breslin blow up and look different than maybe the analytics would suggest coming in. You know, I think this is another interesting test for Michigan State and just their overall development, because we did see some things from them last week that were revealing and mostly promising. I think they ran out of gas against a Baylor team that's just better than they are now. You saw a guy like Max Christie is a guy I'm really watching. How does he respond to a tough week where he finally saw some real defensive attention, where he saw some athletes who were could get into him and cause him problems of similar lengths? And like, I mean, he's a guy for them to, by the time March rolls around, compete with the teams like Baylor and be able to close a game like that on a given day. He's going to have to be a really good, consistent scorer and player for them. And so how does he respond to last week? That's the sort of thing I'm looking at. Then again, the point guard position, can those guys in a game like this against a tough defensive team take care of Michigan State? And they haven't been doing that consistently, and that's going to determine so much for MSU this year.
Yeah, I like the way they're improving. And again, Izzo had them off the radar, which I think he liked. And there's some young guys, and I'm telling you, I'm thinking of guys who could create their own shot that Izzo has had in the last 5 years. And I'm not talking about big men down low. I'm saying somebody off the dribble who can move without the ball, get a pass. They can take it to the rack, pull up, then go finish at the bucket. He hasn't had a lot of those guys.
No, and he's got those now. I think Akins will be that guy eventually. Right now, he's much more of a offensive rebounder, energy defender guy. Who, if you fix his spots, he's really effective, and he raises their athleticism. Christie is that guy, and I think it's important that he continues to have confidence and his season blossoms like it looked like it was about to at Butler. And there were moments even over the weekend. So no, I think it's a group that, you know, has a chance to be sort of a couple-year group together. Not entirely. They may lose, Gabe Brown after this year. We'll see what guys like him and Marcus Bingham do with that extra year, whether it makes sense to come back or not. But, you know, a guy like Max Christie, who some days looks like a one-and-done, and then other days you're like, that's going to be a couple years for him in college. That could be a good thing for MSU, because I don't know that this is the year anyway you're thinking of them as a contender. You're hoping that they're improved by the tournament and they can make a run. But this is the type of group that by the time next year rolls around and everybody's back or just about everybody's back, and you've got a team that you think might be a kind of a front runner.
I look at both teams right now based on the way they play. There is nobody ready for the NBA, and that includes Hunter Dickinson, who needs to step up. There's nobody ready for the NBA on Michigan State's roster or Michigan's roster right now. Nobody.
No, it doesn't seem like that. You know, the one thing, Gabe Brown is the guy who some guys have their moment in college basketball, and whether they're going to get good enough or not, Xavier Tillman had that at the end of 2020, right? Last year, Aaron Henry, whatever it was going to be, there was no reason to do another year of college basketball. And Gabe Brown may have one of those years where whatever he's going to be, this is it. And he puts everything into a season, and he's pretty good. That said, that extra year is going to create opportunities for guys. And if you're a guy who's a 6'7", 6'8", shooter like Gabe Brown, or you're a guy who's 7 foot with a 7'5" wingspan like Marcus Bingham, another year, you're not a guy whose dimensions limit you from the NBA. And so maybe another year at Michigan State makes sense.
Graham Couch, he was ready to make the switch to Couch on Sports podcast. And Tim sent a cease and desist letter to him. So Couch had to go with Couch and the Rube. They kept their name, which wherever you download podcasts, look for that. You know, there's a lot of territorial stuff in Lansing. Trust me, I've been doing this for over 20 years. You go behind the green and white wall, it's all turf. It's like you don't want if you get the godfather of sports, Tim Stout, on your bad side, you're in trouble.
It's a long day.
Yeah, so Graham Couch in the Room podcast and his Twitter feed, just search Graham Couch. If I have to spell Couch for you, there's no use in even looking for it on Twitter.
Appreciate you, Bill.
We love you, Graham. Enjoy the game tonight, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right.